All right, let's turn your Bibles to Psalm 119, and starting in verse 33. And today we start a new stanza that's entitled He. I'm sure I'm probably pronouncing that wrong since I do not speak Hebrew, but it means window. I have that in your outline. I will do that throughout the course of going through Psalm 119 so you understand what the Hebrew letter is, the definition of it, because there's times where it really does. What is said in a stanza really is something that it represents that in a sense. And like we talked about it when we went through the second stanza as far as Beth, meaning house, and talking about your heart and making sure it's clean, like cleaning the house. This last couple of weeks we were looking at Dalis, door, and talking about the way that we need to go. And so now we're talking about window or windows. And I think it's important because when we talk about a window, and you have a window for the purpose, and it's a dual purpose. I mean, a window you can have to obviously to be able to see in and also to be able to see out. And today we're really going to be looking at seeing in. You know, you talk about a window to the soul. I mean, so, you know, being able to look into, talk about the eyes, the window to your soul, and being able to, sometimes you can really tell what's going on in a person's life and a heart in a sense by looking into their eyes, whether they're sad, whether they're joyful, that sort of thing. Well, we're going to be looking into the, in a sense, the soul or the supplications of the prayer life of a servant. And this is something that we're going to have as a two-part series. I mean, this is the first time in the first stanza I'm actually looking at having the subject matter the same far as the first week and the second week, because in this stanza we're going to see that every verse is a prayer request. And really what we're going to be looking at this week is looking into the heart of a servant and the kind of prayers that we're supposed to have. Next week we're going to be focusing on looking out of the window and focus on what we should be seeing and not seeing, that sort of thing. But today we're looking into the kind of prayer that we need to have. Now this is important because, you know, obviously the Bible says that be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. So no matter what it is, God wants to hear from us, all right? It doesn't matter whether it's physical aspect of things, but also, and more importantly, really the spiritual aspect of things. And that's really what I want to get down to today in looking at these first four verses, is looking at what kind of prayer we need to do, really, that should be the foundation of our prayer life, and not just talking about physical things. I mean, again, you know, we get sick, we have people that are sick or under the weather, we pray for them, all right? We pray for physical healing, we pray for them to be comforted, you know, that sort of thing. We pray if it's a situation where doctors are involved, we pray for doctors to be able to have the wisdom and direction that God would guide them in the things they need to do. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But we also need to be praying for that which is really spiritual. And a lot of times, sometimes we get focused on the physical and not the spiritual. And what is our, again, our vision, our direction this year is about being, exercising ourselves to godliness and dealing with the whole aspect of ourselves, not just the physical aspect of being in shape, that sort of thing, but much more the spiritual aspect and dealing with being fit in our spirit, fit in our soul, as well as in our body. And so when we look into the heart of a servant and the kind of prayer they have and what we need to have as servants of God, we're going to see that they're not talking about physical things necessarily. We're talking about spiritual things. If you're in Psalm 119, I just want to read the verses 33 to 36. It says this, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness." Again, each one of these verses is a prayer request. Verses 33 and 34, as you notice in your outline sheet, we're going to talk about keeping the commandments. Verses 35 and 36, we're going to talk about the commandments over covetousness. So, with that lengthy introduction, let's have a word of prayer and let's dig into what we need to see today. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for each and every week, every time we're in Psalm 119, you teach us so much. It reminds me of the prayer request that we saw a number of weeks ago, deal bountifully with thy servant. And Lord, you have. And we talk about open up our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of thy law. You have been doing that each and every week, and I am so thankful for that. And Lord, I pray that today would not be an exception to that, Lord. That again, it can't be me. We got to depend on you, Lord, that you will continue to open our eyes, that you will continue to deal bountifully with us, and show us your word. Open up your word to us. Help our hearts and our minds be open to it, and so that we're able to know in the way that we need to go, the way that we need to walk, like we talked about even in the last couple of weeks. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at this. Starting in verse 33, it says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." So the first prayer request that he has is, Lord, he wants the Lord to teach him. All right? It's interesting, it doesn't just say, "Teach me, O Lord, thy statutes." And we've seen this before. But it says, "Teach me the way of thy statutes." The way. See, the statutes produces and shows us a way in which we're supposed to go. And that's important to understand that just the very grammatics of this. So that's one of the things, teach me the statutes. It's like, you know, knowing the Word of God. But it's like, no, I want to know the way of the Word, the way of the statutes. As I learn the statutes of the Word of God, it's going to show me how I need to walk. We're having a spiritual prayer request in order to walk physically according to how the statutes lay out the way that we should go. And so he says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." And again, we understand, and we've seen this in many different places. There is a gazillion verses in talking about being taught and being, you know, God teaching and so forth. But I just want to give you a review and things that we've seen before in this. I want you to go to 2 Timothy real quick. We're going to look at actually three different references here, and they're not anything foreign to you guys. We've seen these a number of times. That's part of getting yourself in shape. It's just a repetition of doing something. So don't be surprised if we continue to go through Psalm 119. There's going to be certain references and coming up over and over again. But first of all, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 13 and just understanding this prayer request. "Teach me, God. Teach me the way of thy statutes." It says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. This is Paul talking to Timothy. We know that this is the last letter that he ever writes before Paul is going to be put to death. But he tells Timothy this. It says, "Hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Now this should be familiar because we looked at this cross reference just last week when we talked about sticking unto the testimonies and giving the example of one of David's mighty men and having the sword cleaving to his hand or sticking to his hand. And it's the same idea of what we're supposed to do as far as holding fast the former sound words. Notice this, "which thou hast heard of me." Now, see, this is very specific, again, to our doctrine. We're coming from Psalm 119 and making application to doctrine that is to us in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So the things that Timothy learned of Paul, he's supposed to hold fast unto those things. Well, that's the same thing that we need to be doing. Still in 2 Timothy, look at chapter 2 and verse 2. Again, familiar verse. This is a theme verse for our discipleship ministry where we teach the basics of Christianity, the basics of the doctrine laid out to us in the dispensation of grace 1-1. And so this is a theme verse for that. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, again, Paul talking to Timothy, it says this, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, you shall be able to teach others also." Now that's important. Again, we've seen this before. There's like four generations that are laid out here. You have Paul, generation number one, teaching Timothy, generation number two. Timothy was supposed to teach faithful men. That is the key. That's generation number three. And those faithful men are going to turn around and teach others also. So you have four different generations there. And that's how the Word of God is passed down. Especially, it says the same. Don't deviate. Don't change it. Don't corrupt it. The same thing. The very same thing, Timothy, that I've communicated to you. Make sure you teach faithful men. That's such a key. Again, I want you to hold a finger in 2 Timothy because we're not done there, but I want you to go back to Psalm 119 and verse 33 and look at this again. Because the prayer request is this, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." And it says, "And I shall keep it unto the end." Now remember, Paul tells Timothy to do what? Teach faithful men. Right? Don't waste your time with unfaithful people because they are not going to keep the truth of the Word of God to the end. It's going to die out. We want to be able to identify faithful people that's going to be able to take the truth of the Word of God and communicate it to other faithful people. So it continues on, and generation after generation is being grounded in the truth of the Word of God. Just like Jesus Christ tells his disciples, don't cast your pearls before swine. Why do that? It's a waste of time. It's vanity. It's running in vain. Do not do that. And so it's the same thing that we see here. Now notice this prayer request, and I really want us to key in on this. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Now why would God answer that prayer if we're not going to be willing to keep it? In other words, I'll say this. Why would the Lord teach it if we're not going to keep it? Why is God, if we see even with God, you know, like obviously inspiring Paul, it's the Word of God. Hey, Timothy, teach faithful men. So they're able to turn around and teach others also. Well, if Paul is not, or I should say if Timothy is not going to be faithful, then why is Paul working with Timothy? Obviously Timothy is faithful. Paul works with them. But he tells Timothy, make sure you're teaching faithful people. Make sure they're going to keep it. Don't waste your time with people who are not going to keep it. So if we're going to, and we should, this would be the kind of prayer request we should have on at least, let's say, a weekly basis. It really should be every time that we open up the Word of God. Teach me. Ask yourself this. Why would God teach me if I am not committed to actually keeping what He's going to teach me? For you that are supervisors, we've got a couple of you guys in here. Are you going to entrust somebody under you that you are managing with some greater responsibility if they haven't been faithful in that which you've already given them to do? Because why would you not do that? Because you know it's not going to get done. All right? Well, why would God teach us? Why would God answer that prayer if we know that we're not going to be committed to do this? David here in Psalm 119 says, hey, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. That is a vow. That is something he's determined that he is going to do. A very subject matter of Kurt's devotion on Wednesday this week, and making a vow of something he's going to do. This is what David said. Lord, you teach me, I will keep it unto the end. Not for a week, not for a month, not for a year. I'm keeping it until I die. Alright? Well, that's what we need to have, that same attitude. I told you to keep a finger in 2 Timothy chapter, well, I want you to go to chapter 4, but look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 again at the end of Paul's life. Notice what he says, and this really should be a goal for all of us. It says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to pick it up in verse 7 and verse 8. It says this, end of his life, his last words, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Henceforth, verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If we love his appearing, if we want to see the Lord Jesus Christ come back for us, we're waiting for that day, then we should be doing what? Demonstrating our love by fighting a good fight, finish the course that he's given us, and keeping the faith. Paul did that unto the end. And that needs to be the same commitment that we have. That's why I entitled this first point, Keeping the Commandments. If we're not determined to keep it, why is the Lord going to teach it? Let's go back to Psalm 119. Let's continue on. Again from verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Again, you see the very same idea, really, of what we just covered in verse 33. He wants the Lord to teach him. He's going to keep it unto the end. Now it says, Lord, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. That phrase, whole heart, is something that we see at least six different times in Psalm 119. Alright, not half-heartedly doing something, my whole heart. Again, it shows that commitment that he has, but he's like, give me understanding. See, there's one thing that the Lord teaches you something and you have knowledge of the Word of God, but we need to go beyond that. He wants understanding of the Word of God. Now, think about it. We know a lot more, just in general, talking about knowledge. We probably know a lot more than what we understand. I know that I can go to my phone. I know that I can download apps. I can listen to radio stations. You know, I can listen to and look at videos and everything like that. But like that, I have knowledge of those things. I have knowledge of being able to look information up on my smartphone and all this other stuff. But how much do I actually understand that process and how it works? And somebody would say, okay, Charles, I need you to give a dissertation on how everything and radio waves and all this stuff works and microwaves and all that information. I'd be like, I don't know. I know that I do this, it works. But I actually have an understanding of it. Now, if you were to ask me about martial arts, and you're saying, I give you the knowledge of like, okay, when you punch, you want to punch with your first two knuckles and not all of your knuckles. Alright? I can give you that knowledge of like, okay, he's a sensei, he's been around for a while doing this stuff, so I know that information. But do you know why? Do you understand why that is? Now, I'm not going to go in and start talking about karate here or anything like that. But there's one thing, it's just an example of knowing something, but then be able to understand something. And that is important, because you have the knowledge and need to get to the place of understanding, because understanding leads to wisdom, and that's actually the application of the Word of God. You actually are physically walking and doing what God wants you to do. So not only does David say, hey, God, teach me and I will keep it, give me understanding. I need to understand your law. I need to understand your word. Because it says in verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. It's hard to keep something and observe something if you don't understand what you're doing. So as we're sitting down and praying, these are the kind of prayers that we need to be doing. Lord, not only teach me, give me the understanding. I want you to go over to the next book in the Bible from Psalms. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to look at the first 7 verses. Now, as you make your way there, it shouldn't take you too long. It's the next book over to the right. It's written by Solomon for us, a human author. God uses Solomon to write Proverbs. Proverbs in dealing with how to really rule, to understand how to walk in your life. There's a lot of incredible knowledge and understanding and wisdom in the book of Proverbs that are laid out, because Solomon is one of the wisest men that ever walked the face of the earth, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, and God gave him all that great wisdom. And so in Proverbs chapter 4, we'll pick it up in verse 1, it says this, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, even in the Old Testament, the importance of doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son. Well, Solomon's father would be David. All right, author most likely of Psalm 119. It says, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Well, Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. It says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. It goes right back to the same thing. Why is the Lord going to teach it if you're not going to keep it? Alright? It says, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Over and over again, the importance of getting the wisdom, getting the knowledge of the Word of God, but you've got to get the understanding. You have to know why the Word of God. In other words, not just the knowledge of it, but why it is the way it is. All right? How come God is laying this out? Why is God teaching this? You need to understand why. You see, Paul having a prayer for the Colossians, the same thing, and I want you to turn there. Go to Colossians chapter 1. We'll have a few cross-references out of Colossians today. First one, in Colossians chapter 1, looking at verses 9 and 10. This is, again, a prayer that Paul has for the Colossians. Again, going beyond just praying for the physical things and needs in our life, praying for the spiritual things that we have got to have if we're going to be a servant of God. And we're going to serve Him according to how He lays out in His Word. These are the things we need to be praying on a daily basis. Teach me, God. Teach me the way of Thy statutes, and I'm going to keep it. Give me understanding so I can keep Thy law and then observe it with my whole heart. Well, in Colossians chapter 1, notice what Paul prays for the Colossians, the church there. Picking it up in verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why is that so important? Because notice what it says in verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice that the prayer is for something spiritual, verse 9, so it is worked out of you in verse 10 physically. That ye might walk worthy, physically walking according to what the Word of God lays out. It's like you're not going to physically do what God wants you to do or walk in the way of the statutes or the path of the statutes if you're not spiritually first praying the thing about getting God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Teach me, God. Give me understanding. You go back to Psalm 119. You have more to see in verse 34. Psalm 119, verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. Again, it's a vow that he is saying. It's like, Lord, I mean, it's not going to be a waste of time with you teaching me and giving me understanding, because I'm going to keep these things. And he goes on and says, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Not just part of it. Not when it's convenient or when I feel like it. I'm going to observe these things, Lord, that you show me in your word with my whole heart. I'm going to observe it, and I am going to, again, I am going to follow it and keep it with my whole heart. Now, it's interesting that word observe. Remember, what's the title of this stanza? It means window. A window is there to see. And he says, I'm going to observe. I'm going to look. I'm going to see. What I need to do, I'm going to do it with my whole heart. It reminds me of the book of Deuteronomy. It really is the theme of Deuteronomy, observe to do. All right. Again, one of the best ways to teach somebody is that you are setting the example so they can observe what to do. Right? Again, it's just so many things that we're going to learn about that, but I want you to go back to Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Bible, right? So we've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, then Deuteronomy. I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 32, the very last verse of this chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 32. As you make your way there, I'll give you a little bit of history here. Deuteronomy, the name Deuteronomy literally means repetition of the law. And when you read the first five books of the Bible, you'll notice when you get to Deuteronomy, it's almost like an overview of everything that you've already seen for the nation of Israel coming out of Exodus and dealing with Numbers and so forth in Leviticus. It's giving the law again. And the reason why that's important is because you have a new generation that's coming up, that the old generation that came out of Egypt, they die off in the wilderness because of disobedience. 40 years in the wilderness, a new generation comes up that's getting ready to go into the promised land. Joshua's going to lead them. So that's why you have Deuteronomy where, again, Moses is giving this new generation the law of God again. And that's why you see the things in Deuteronomy that you see in the book of Exodus and so forth. All right. Now notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 32. It says, and ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Again, I just love the Word of God and how it comes together. They're to observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you. All right, again, literally, it's no different than what I am doing right now. I'm literally setting before you the Word of God of what we are all supposed to do. All right? Now again, obviously, Deuteronomy and the law is not to us. We're in a dispensation of grace, but we're making application from the doctrine that we have, which we're going to do literally right now. I want you to go to Philippians real quick in chapter 4. I know you're familiar with it, but Philippians chapter 4 in verse 9. This stuff is good. I hope you're getting something out of it. I know I'm getting that. Man, I'm preaching to myself, and I'm getting a lot out of this. And I hope you're getting some things too. But again, in Deuteronomy, we say that, you know, we observe to do. That's like, again, from Psalm 119 and verse 34. I'm going to observe it with my whole heart. Now, under our doctrine, under grace, the gospel of grace, notice what it is said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Paul tells the Philippians this: those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, notice, and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that incredible? I don't know about you. I'm learning something right now. And I love it when I learn something on the spot, in the moment, that I didn't even really put together as I've been studying this for the last week. All right? It's like the same thing you see in Deuteronomy, observe to do. It's the same commandment that God has given us in our dispensation of grace now. The things that he has taught the Apostle Paul, the doctrine that he's given us in the dispensation of grace, what are we supposed to do? Observe to do. And we should be praying to God, Lord, teach me. Teach me your word. And Lord, if you teach me your word, I will do it. Lord, make me understand. Make me understand your law. And I'm going to observe it with my whole heart. Is that our desire? I'm going to answer this question before we move on. How often is it that we pray and we really don't mean what we're praying? We pray something because it's the spiritual thing to do. Well, I'm a Christian, I guess I ought to pray. But you have no intentions or even thought that God is going to hear you, answer you, right, give you what you're asking for, and nor are you really looking for it. We can go back to Colossians. I mean, I didn't have this original plan, but we can go back to Colossians where it talks about how we need to watch and pray. I mean, I made this point before. How often do we actually pray to God and watch for Him to answer it? Again, why is God going to teach it if we're not going to keep it? Let's go back to Psalm 119. We talk about a window into the servant's soul and understanding the supplications of what we need to be praying. Man, this is just two verses. Man, we have a lot to chew on just even these two verses, but we will go on. We talk about verse 33 and 34 again, keeping the commandments. We're asking God to teach us and make us understand. Well, now we're going to look over commandments over covetousness as we get into verses 35 and 36. Notice in verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Now, we've seen this before about delighting in the Word of God from the very first stanza of the year. All right, we went through the stanza that means ox, aleph. All right, and then talking about delighting in the Word of God, and we have the cross reference. I don't have you turn to it, but in Psalm chapter 1 or Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2, it talks about blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You delight in something, you're going to think about it. You're going to meditate on it. And it's like when you delight in the Word of God, you're going to be thinking about it. You're going to be meditating on it. And that's something that we should be doing. And so in this third prayer request that we have here in verse 35, it's based on that he delights in it. I mean, how many of us Christians actually delight in the Word of God? Do you think it's a burden? Think it's like, well, I guess I got to have, I'm a Christian, so not only do I'm supposed to pray, I'm supposed to read the Word of God. If that is your attitude, you have got to check your attitude. If you're not delighting in the Word of God, you're not going to be praying any of these prayer requests in the first place. David delights in the Word of God. That's why he says, Lord, I need you to teach me. Lord, I need you to give me understanding. And now he's saying, make me. This is not like, make me, I dare you. It is like, make me, Lord, please. You take control. Make me go in the path of thy commandments. Now, I want you to notice something. Notice his first prayer request in verse 33 again. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Your word lays out a way to go and how I'm supposed to walk. Lord, please teach me that. And he says he's going to keep it. Give me understanding, I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. But then he comes down to verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. It's like the same thing as the way of thy statutes. Lord, you teach me the way of thy statutes. Jump down to verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. It's the same thing. The path belongs to the commandments. The commandments lays out a path, a direction for us to go. And David's delight is in God's commandments, the way of the commandments. And he's saying, Lord, here's my prayer request. Make me go down that path. My choice is to allow you, Lord, that you make me go the way that I'm supposed to go of your commandments. Not my way. You see, we talked about that in the last couple of weeks under Dalet's door. There's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but it is in there of the ways of death. We saw that in Proverbs, chapter 14 and chapter 16. It's like, I don't want that way. Lord, make me go in the way of your commandments. Because I delight in that. That's how I want to go. I don't want to go the way of the world. I don't want to go the way of Satan. I don't want to go the way of my flesh. And that's the one that we battle the most, our flesh. Lord, no, I don't want that. I don't delight in that. That's bad. That's death. That's not good. I'm not going to get rewarded for that. I'm going to suffer loss. Lord, make me go in the path of thy commandments. I want you to turn over to the same Psalm, Psalm 119, but look at verse 133. Obviously, we'll get there in the future, Lord willing. Another prayer request that he has here. In Psalm 119, verse 133, this is something I pray often. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Lord, I need you to order my steps. I want it to be according to your word. Lord, make me go in a path of thy commandments. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. I want to be made to go according to the direction and a path that your word lays out for me. Not what the world wants, not what the flesh wants, not what Satan wants. No. What does the word say? That's the way that I want to go. I want you to go to Colossians. I said we'll have a few cross-references in Colossians. I still want you to be in chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look first in verse 23 and then down in verse 25. Because it's that same sense that we see with Paul being made to do what God had created him to do. And it should be the same desire that we have as well. Again, talking about the kind of prayer life we are supposed to be having. That, again, not saying that we don't pray for the physical things that happen in our lives. Yes, we do that. But we need to make sure that this is priority, that we're dealing with the spiritual things that we need to be praying for. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, it says this. Again, not dealing with all the context of everything that's going on, which is absolutely incredible, but it says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. It's like God was doing this to him. through all the things that he goes through, in that process, God is making him a minister. Now notice the next reference here, the next verse, verse 24. It says, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Again, God used Paul to give us the doctrine of what we are following today in the dispensation of grace and all the afflictions and the trials that he goes through in delivering us that doctrine. And he goes on in verse 25, it says, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. God's word, direction for Paul's life. Paul allowed God to make him a minister. And it's the same thing that God wants to do with us today. He wants to make us a minister. But he's not going to overrule the very thing that makes us unique from animals and everything like that. We have a choice. We are spirit, we are soul. That soul, our heart, the will, we have a choice. Now, if we delight in the Word of God, then we should have the exact same prayer that David has in Psalm 119. Make me go in the path of thy commandments. See, these are the things we need to be praying, folks. Lord, you teach me. Lord, give me understanding. Make me go in the path of thy commandments. For therein I delight. Let's go back to... Actually, before we do that, give the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just stop off in Luke real quick, the Gospel of Luke. I want you to look at Luke chapter 22. I'll pick it up in verse 41. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. This is when our Lord is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before he's going to be led away to be crucified. I want you to notice what the Lord prays. In Luke chapter 22, verse 41-42, it's just understanding what he had to go through for our sin, who knew no sin. The punishment of our eternal death, which is eternity away from God in hell. That's what Jesus Christ took upon him. And he chose to do it. He didn't have to. What? He didn't have to. But he chose to do it. And notice what he says. In Luke 22, starting in verse 41, it says, and he was withdrawn from them, the them being his disciples, about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was all about doing what God the Father wanted him to do. His will. His direction. His purpose. His calling. And it should be the same prayer request that we have today. Lord, make me go in the path of thy commandments. For therein I delight. Let's go back to Psalm 119. We've been coming through and each verse, seeing these prayer requests, the things that we need to be praying. And quite honestly, it should be something that we're really praying every day. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Verse 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Now from here, and as we'll see next week, we're going to start seeing this window and looking out. Window allows you to look in, it also allows you to look out. We've been looking in these last three verses of the kind of prayer a servant should be having, what we should be doing. But now we're also looking out. And his prayer request is this: incline my heart. Lord, this is what I need you to do with my heart, my soul, my place, my will, where I make a decision, where I choose what I'm going to do and not do. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Again, it follows suit of where he delights in the commandments of the Lord. That's his desire. He delights. He loves the Word of God. Well, he wants his heart to be inclined for what? To the testimonies of God. And not to covetousness. In other words, what his desire is the Word of God and walking according to the Word of God, doing what the Word of God lays out for him to do. That's what we should be praying, and not having our hearts inclined to covetousness. We live in a society, especially here in this hemisphere, in North America and so forth, where we have to have the latest new things. You know, that's why advertising is a multi-billion-dollar industry. You know, on TV and so forth and all that, because we see something and it's like, I need that. Do you? It's like, well, I gotta have that because the Jones, they have that, the Smiths, they have that. I can't let them have that and me not have that. I need to have that too. How many people are in debt because they get something that they can't afford to have and they really don't even need to have because they see it? It's like, Lord, incline my heart unto your testimonies, the things that you have done in my life, the things that I see in the Word of God that you've done, and not to covetousness, not to the things of the world, the things that the flesh desires. I want you to notice something here. I want you to look back at verse 31. And we spent a lot of time last week in talking about this verse. I've already made reference to it once today, in a sense. He says this in verse 31, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. All right, he's sticking to the testimonies. I'm following the Word of God no matter what. No matter what, I'm just like Job. Though he slayed me, yet I'm going to trust in God. God, you kill me, I'm still going to trust in you. All right? I'm stuck into thy testimonies, Lord. Put me not to shame. All right? This is what I'm putting all my eggs in this basket. All right? Easter's coming up, so that's my Easter reference, I guess. Literally, it's an Easter reference, and not like the resurrection. All right. Anyhow, I'll explain more of that at the end of the month. But anyhow, he's sticking unto the testimonies. And now in his prayer request here in verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. And there's not a lot of verses that we have in Paul's doctrine that we see about testimonies. And I've already given the one in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 7 and 8. Verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. And so I talk about the testimony of the Lord and testimony of Paul, his doctrine, the things that he lays out. We should not be ashamed of those things. No, our heart needs to be inclined to that. But I'll give you another reference in dealing with the testimony. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talking about how when he came into Corinth and what his mindset, his heart, what it was all about when he was preaching to them. And notice what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and just verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 1 says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. It's like, our heart needs to be inclined to those testimonies. The things that we see laid out in the Word of God, obviously the testimony of God, the testimony of the Lord, the testimony of Paul, those are things that are laid out in the Word of God. That's another word for the word is testimony, specifically understanding what God has done and what He is doing even in your life. What are the testimonies that you know that you can say that this is the Word of God and how God works that in your life? For me, I'm coming up on 5 years at the end of this month that I've been with Kansas Racing and Gaming Commission, all right, as an enforcement agent, getting back into law enforcement. And it's like my prayer for the year previous was, Lord, provide for me, provide for my family, all right? I need your provision. And one of my key verses was Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, where it talks about Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That's one of my key verses that I pray, spiritual prayer, alright? Dealing with physical things, but at the same time, it's like, you know, Lord, I need your provision. And he came through exceeding abundantly above all that I ever asked or thought in giving me this job, alright? And the way that I got this job didn't seem like, I don't know how, Lord, you are in this, but this is the direction you're giving me. Let me walk in it. And it's more than what I have ever imagined he would do in answering that prayer for me. That's a testimony. That's something that I have, that I can reflect on, that I can, again, Lord, incline my heart to that for when the next circumstance or situation comes up and that I need God's provision, spiritually, physically, it's like, wait a minute, I have a testimony. I know what he's done for me 5 years ago and how he allowed that verse to come true in my life. I can hold on to that so I can, again, have faith in what he is going to do and his provision of what he's going to do. Is your heart inclined to the testimonies of the things that God has done in your life? Because if it's not, the tendency is going to be what your heart's going to be inclined unto is what? What you see. Covetousness. The things of the world. Instead of the great things that God has for you, our heart is inclined to covetousness, which is idolatry. I want you to turn. You're in, might still be in 1 Corinthians. I want you to go to one more cross reference, and we'll be done. I want you to go back to Colossians, but this time chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're actually going to read. Originally, I just had verse 5 down, but I want you to look at it from verse 1, because it really does encompass a lot of what we've been talking about and where our heart needs to be inclined, what we need to be delighting in, the things of God. The things of his word, the direction that he has for us, and not the things of this world. In Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says this, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Now you will not find in Paul's letters to us, the word delight. Delighting in the word. You're not going to find it. But this would be the equivalent of that. Where's your affection? Is it on things above? Or is it on things on this earth? He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, not a part of your life, that's the problem with most Christians, he's a part of your life. Oh, well, I'll think about God on Sunday. Well, the rest of the week, you're thinking about whatever on your own and whatever your flesh desires. That's the problem. That's why we're not getting anywhere. That's not why you're healthy in your spirit, in your soul, and even in your body, because, again, you're not really focused. He's not a part of your life. He is your life. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have been baptized into the body of Christ. You have died to the old self to be raised to walk in newness of life. He is your life. 168 hours a week, all right? Heck, 24-7, 7 days a week, that translates to 168 hours. He is your life, not just a part of it. And it goes on and it says this, in verse 4 again, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, dealing with your flesh, your body. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. It shouldn't be focused on the things of the earth, but things above. And it says this, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. A lot of times we in America, we don't think, oh, I'm not an idolatrous. I'm not bowing down to some statues. Covetousness is defined as idolatry, and idolatry is defined as covetousness. And David says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies, not to covetousness. In our world, there's a lot of things. When we look out the window of our eyes and the things that we see, there's a lot of things that we may covet. I mean, let's be honest, let's be real. Be focused in a sense of understanding that, hey, we all walk around in this flesh. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Your flesh is never on your side. Your flesh is not there to help you to be able to serve God and to be able to give Him the glory. The flesh is all about itself. I don't care how good of a person you think you are, that is your flesh. We can try to, you know, serve God and think that, okay, we do it in the flesh. It's not going to amount to anything. It's wood, hay, and stubble. So here's the thing. Instead of looking out and thinking and coveting whatever it may be, whether it's somebody else, something else, some position, whatever it is, it's like you think life is going to be better if I have that. No. What we need to pray is, Lord, incline my heart unto thy testimonies, not to covetousness. See, the problem is not that that thought of covetousness comes. The thought is, what do you do with it when it happens? It's like the same thing like in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against Christ. All right? The thought can come, but what do you do with it? Do you entertain it or do you cast it down? Well, it's the same thing. As we go back and finish up here in Psalm 119, again in verse 36, it's like, man, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Now, as we end this, every one of these prayer requests is a choice that David makes that he wants God to do for him. When you look at this, it almost sounds like a two-year-old. Well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Teach me. Give me. Make me. Incline my heart. Isn't that what a two-year-old does, in a sense? Give me that. Give me this. That's mine. Obviously, he's not a two-year-old. But man, when you think about a two-year-old, when they're, you know, somebody else is over to play, especially if they're around the same age, you know, the friend could be playing with a toy that the one kid is like not even thinking about, but as soon as he sees that kid play with it, that is mine! I want it! Give it to me! We come out of the womb crying and wanting something. The nice warm environment that you're in is all of a sudden gone. Wow! Got to put some blankets on that thing. All of a sudden you're hungry. We come out wanting, and it's all wanting things that are what? Physical in nature. And that's okay. That's what has to happen. That's what that's understandable. In an aspect of us as believers in Christ, we need to be like that, but desiring the spiritual things. Lord, teach me your word. Give me understanding. Make me go in the path of your commandments. Incline my heart unto your testimonies. This is what we need to be praying. Imagine what our week would be. And this is something we should challenge us. And I'm talking to myself. Man, every day, just praying those four verses, I wonder what our week would be like. When we're focused on the spiritual things that we need to be praying. Yes? Everything we need to be praying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. But the priority, Lord, I need to know your word. Please teach me. I'm going to keep it. Make me, give me understanding. I need to understand your word so I can walk accordingly. Make me go in that path. And God, please incline my heart. In this world that is so much about covetousness and you got to have the latest, greatest thing, Lord, incline my heart to desire to want your testimonies, not covetousness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, and I thank you and I praise you. I don't know about anybody else, but I am seeing Psalm 119 in such a new depth and incredible light. But Lord, I walk away from this message for me, and it's like, Lord, please, I want to be of the attitude that I keep these things. That is not just another message. That it's not just like, man, that's incredible, and then saw some great things, but okay, on the next week and forget about it. No, Lord, help me to hold on to these things. Help me to keep these things. Help me to actually apply these things. Lord, I do want you to teach me. Help me keep what you teach me. Lord, I want you to give me understanding. Help me to keep that. Hold on to that. To delight in it, Lord. Help make me go in the right way. Please, Lord, incline my heart. Lord, let us have this ever in our mind each and every day when we come to your word, when we come to you in prayer, that we prioritize these things. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.